KOJB 90.1, The Eagle, good day, and welcome to another edition of Environmental Voices. I'm Marie Rock, and joining me today in the studio is Shirley Norjum, smiling. Hey, what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about sugarbush.
Ooh.
Does it sound like a good time to talk about that? This show might be aired some other time, but right now, if you're outside, it's nice and warm. The snow is melting. It is spring. And, you know, if you're a sugar, this is the time of the year when it's really hard to be at work. You just want to be out there in the woods and collecting sap and making syrup. So I thought we'd talk about it a little bit.
Cool.
You know, one of the things that people want to know about is a lot of people that don't sugar. They want to know, like, how does, you know, what are you doing out there? How what makes the sap flow? Why is the sap flowing? And what makes the sap flow? Well, it's a combination of the temperatures, warm in the daytime and cool at night. And it's the reactions going on inside the tree of pressure and suction. So when it gets, you're looking weird over there, it's about temperature, suction, and pressure.
Okay.
So what happens is when it warms up in the daytime, there's this positive pressure created within the tree and within the sapwood of the tree, the outer sapwood of the tree, not the bark. But the next layer in is called sapwood.
Mm-hmm.
And that sapwood is delivering nutrients up and down the tree. And so when it warms up outside, what's happening is the nutrients are flowing up into the cells. And there's CO2 being given off, intercellular CO2. There's also nutrients being released into that wood. And so in the interspaces around the cells, there's CO2. So it's creating this pressure. It's called a positive pressure. And it just, if there's a damaged place in the tree, like where you tap it, it just pushes the sap on out and you can collect it. Pretty cool, huh? And at the nighttime, when the temperature drops back down, then you get a negative pressure. And it causes the roots and things to suck, and it's sucking them back up. So it's this whole process. Warm in the day, cool at night. That's what you need to make the sap flow.
Man, you're such a science knowledge. It just amazes me. You lost me at sap. But anyway.
That's what's happening, though, because everybody asks, well, what makes the sap flow? That's what it is.
Isn't there, like, doesn't it take a lot of sap to make maple syrup?
It does. On average, over the years, it's about 32 to 40 gallons of sap to make a gallon of syrup.
My goodness. Why so much?
Well, most of it's water.
Okay.
When you think about it, you're tapping maple trees. It's not just the sugar maple that you can tap. You can tap the silver maples and all the maples out there. But the sugar maple has the highest sugar content in its sap. And the highest sugar content is generally about 2% sugar. So, you know, most of what you have there is water.
Okay.
It has a little bit of nutrients in it. So you have to boil that down and evaporate all that water off to get that concentrated sugar.
Wow.
That we all love so much. And that golden brown syrup on our pancakes or on our vanilla ice cream is really good too.
Really?
Yeah. It makes excellent topping. It's better than chocolate.
When I was a kid, they used to make those sugar maple cakes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, don't
you love them? Yeah.
And you'd chew on them. And I couldn't do it now because it would wreck my teeth. But, I mean, back in the day, it was just, like, awesome to eat those things. They were so cool. But we had great big ones.
I know. Now they make them so tiny, it's portion control.
What is up with that?
Portion control sugar cakes.
You're going to control your sugar this one way or another. Anyway, is there anything else you could make with sap other than just maple syrup?
Well, in the old days, we always made sugar. We brought it right down to sugar because we didn't have, you know, canning jars or whatever. We didn't can to make syrup. We tapped trees to make sugar. So that was our sugar for the whole year.
Wow.
I read somewhere back in the day when non-natives were coming over and recording things that they were at a sugar camp over by Fond du Lac somewhere. And the folks over there had made, and I'm serious when I read this, 9,000 pounds of maple sugar.
Wow.
That's some serious sugar.
That's some work.
I mean, that's some serious maple forest, maple stands. You know, we don't even have those kind of stands anymore.
Yeah.
It's getting harder and harder to find maple stands. They get harvested and then you gotta wait for new trees to grow up and things like that. So there are quite a few stands yet around the reservation if someone's interested in sugaring. You can do that. It's your treaty right to sugar on Forest Service land.
So. Okay, so how would we do this? Let's say I wanted to sugar.
I can't picture this.
I know, you can't picture this at all, me going out in the woods. But anyway, what do I need to do this?
You need some taps. You can make your taps.
Okay.
You can make them out of sumac if you were totally broke, had no money. You can make a tap out of sumac.
Okay.
Or you can go and buy them.
Okay.
So you need some taps. And you need some buckets or some way to collect it. If you're going to be right out there in your camp and not having to work and travel and all that kind of thing, you can actually get by with going to a school or someplace that serves a large number of people and get like coffee cans. Those big cans, those commercial cans.
Okay.
Clean them all up, stick a little hole on the side of it, and then you can, your tap has this little hook on it, and you can just hang your can on there. And I tell you, if you use cans, and we used to use cans before we got so busy and had to go to a larger bucket, when you empty them, when the sap is really flowing and it's all quiet out in the woods, and then you empty the cans and it's dripping, and you hear that sap dripping into those metal cans, that is very musical and very magical to hear that. That's an amazing thing to hear.
So how fast does the sap flow? Does that depend on when you, and when is the time that you actually do this?
Now is about the time.
No, I mean, like, is there a time of day?
Oh, well, it's going to flow during the daytime.
Okay.
It can flow at nighttime. But oftentimes when it's starting to flow in the nighttime, it's starting to be the end of the run. It goes on for about 6 weeks. That's a quite kind of a long season.
Okay.
It can be a really short season, 2 weeks. So it varies, as all natural occurring events are. They fluctuate from year to year. I like being in sugar camp because it's who we are and it's what we did. If people want to get really technical, they say that a tap will give you 10 to 20 gallons of sap. So if you want to figure out how much you need, if you want a gallon of syrup, if you use that each tap giving you 10 to 20, use 15 for an average, you could figure out how many trees you needed to tap for how much.
You got to bring math and everything.
No, I didn't want to. You can, but people always ask those questions.
And okay.
It's like, I just, you know, I tap however many I have time for. I do whatever I can. Some years I can, some years I can't. But if I can't get out there, I'm going to go visit somebody, you know. Somebody's always got a camp going, and I just go hang out and visit if I don't have the time to dedicate to do it myself because it's something I love. And I'm going to go visit some folks up in Panema this year. They got a camp going on up there. So I'll just go visit and talk. And it's always so fun because everybody's got a story about how they do it or how they got into it. And just visit, you know. And a lot of people don't know that you can just, if you see people out sugaring and you're, you know, respectful and go in and just sit down and visit and talk, you can learn a lot. If it's something that you think you might want to get into, that's how I would suggest getting into it. Go visit a camp.
Okay.
Help them haul sap.
There you go. Work for your sugar. Do you know exactly where would you tap the tree to get it? I mean, is there like a certain height or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I usually, well, it's going to depend on how high the snow is when you tap your tree. But when we're out there working, I usually put my tap in right about where my knee is at.
Okay.
Because we use those old type brace drills. Mm-hmm. We don't even get into using the electric drills, you know. We do it old style. So I rest my hand on my knee as I'm drilling that in. So mine are about knee height. Everybody's going to be a little bit different. I actually saw a guy one time who tapped so high. He asked me to go visit his camp and empty his cans for him because he had to go be out of town. And I couldn't believe how high he tapped him. I could barely see in the can how much sap he had. I had to take him down. I don't know why he tapped so high. It wasn't wrong. It was just a different way of doing it that I hadn't seen before.
How deep do you go when you do that?
Just a little bit. It's about maybe an inch and a half. And, you know, when we have young folks or newer folks out in camp, if they're tapping, we kind of put a mark on the drill to kind of help them gauge how far they're going. Because you really don't need to go in that far. Just enough to get your tap in there.
Does that harm the trees? I mean, do they eventually die from being tapped so much?
No, they don't.
No?
No, it's such a small wound that it starts healing over again.
Cool.
Yeah, it's sapwood. It's alive. The cells are growing, and it just fills back in.
Okay, so what's the good time of the year to do this?
It's about this time. It's usually, you know, people start getting excited in March. It can vary, but, you know, that first, remember that couple of days where it was 40 degrees?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that I knew sugar was like, oh, where's the buckets? Where's this? Where's that? You know, they were getting so excited.
Right.
And, yeah, the sap probably did run for those couple of days, but it wasn't time yet, you know. It's generally in April when it starts.
Okay. Is that the only time of the year, really, to do it?
Yep, that's the only time you can do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Does that require a permit or? anything?
If you are a Leech Lake band member and you are within the reservation boundaries, you can tap on Forest Service land without a permit.
Okay.
It depends on where you're at and who you are.
Wow. So there is a permit involved. I didn't know that.
Yeah. In some areas, like if non-natives need to get permits, some like counties will have land that has sugar stands on them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, generally you go visit with the forester at the county seat and you can talk to him about it. And I think you do have to get a permit. It's not very much money, though.
Okay. For the non-outdoors person, such as myself, how would you identify a maple tree?
Well, that's something that you should probably go out and in the woods with someone. And, you know, because I can do a drive-by and you can see the maples. But when you're looking at them, they're bumpy and they're shaggy. Their bark is shaggy and it's kind of got deeper grooves. A lot of them have moss growing up about like knee high on the tree.
Okay.
But you should go out with somebody. And that's not, you know, if you're on Leech Lake, you could go out and visit the forester over at DRM, Keith Carnes. He'd go out in the woods with you. And he has a lot of staff, too, that could go out in the woods and help you identify maple so that you're sure of what you're doing.
Are maples the only one that produces sugar?
I have heard, and I did try one time to tap a birch tree. Some people do make syrup and sugars out of birch sap. But the tree that I tapped, I don't know if it was... It really didn't produce much sap at all, not even enough to do anything with it.
Okay.
So I don't know. I don't know if it was a... I just didn't explore it enough. But it does happen. People do tap birch. I heard that it happens quite a bit up in Alaska.
Okay.
So they do it up there.
Awesome. So if I want to get started on this or if I have any questions, how do I get a hold of you or anybody at the DRM?
You can always call me at the Tribal College. Just ask for Shirley and they'll transfer you. There's people over at DRM. If you just call DRM, 335-7400.
Okay.
And just ask for somebody that knows about maple trees or tapping trees or sugar bush, something like that. And they'll send you to the right person because there's a few folks over there that could help you out.
Excellent. Shirley, as usual, thank you so much for your knowledge, your math skills, and everything.
Oh, quit it.
We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. For KOJB 90.1 The Eagle, I'm Marie Rock.